2 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 5 to verse 11. The apostle continues his previous paragraph, and he brings it to a conclusion. He'd been anxious. He didn't want to bring distress and further trouble and worry to the church at Corinth, and yet the church at Corinth needed discipline. But he wasn't going to lord it over them. He wasn't going to pull rank and smite them down. And so he decided not to go. He decided that he would leave others to see what was going on there. He said, I wrote to you, verse 4, out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. And he goes on now in this passage, 5 to 11, to deal with, I believe, that man in the first letter, the fifth chapter, the man who was committing incest. And the church, instead of disciplining the man, had tolerated him, bragged about it, boasted of their tolerance and their love, no doubt. And Paul had to rebuke them most sharply and call them to discipline the man, and to bring themselves to their senses and bring them back to the gospel way. What had happened? Well, it's apparent from this passage that the man had responded well. The discipline had had the desired effect. He had come to his senses, he had repented of his sins, returned to Christ, put the matter right. And is that the end of the matter? No, says Paul. Verse 5, if anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me, as he has grieved all of you to some extent. Not to put it too severely. Don't think because I took the lead in bringing this discipline about that I'm the only one concerned. This is ecclesia life, you see. This is church life. This isn't Christendom institutional life, no. That's all the difficult stuff is left to a few special people. But in the New Testament, the New Covenant, in the Ecclesia of the New Covenant, we're all members one of another. And if one suffers grief, if one suffers pain, if one man is offensive, the whole Ecclesia goes down. And Christ himself is caught up in it. There's a mutuality. Not only about the priesthood of all believers and sharing in the ministry and teaching, but sharing in the responsibility. It's not them and us. We're all in this together, brothers. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority, by the rest of you see. The whole body dealing with itself. If I have a splinter in my finger, my body takes it out. Otherwise, my whole body suffers. Or my hand may take it out. My eyes may be looking at the splinter. But my whole body is caught up in it. It's suffering. And the whole body is healed and restored once the sore is removed. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him. Now, instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Here's the glory of the new covenant of the gospel of Christ. There is forgiveness of sins. It matters not how badly we have fallen. Forgiveness is there. Repentance. Coming back to Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is the bond of perfection. Love is what governs it all. Love is the fulfillment of the law. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. It was love to discipline him. It wasn't love to tolerate the sin. It was love to discipline the man. The reason I wrote to you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. This is the law of Christ. Obedience to Scripture, love for one another, love for Christ, by the Spirit, putting into practice the things of the Word of God, the teaching we receive. If you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. It's not me pulling rank. We're all in this together. It's that mutuality again. It's the ecclesia again. It's the whole body ministry. It's a holistic thing, this ecclesia life. It's not a clergy over the rest of us. It's all of us in it together. And what I have forgiven, If there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ, and Christ is in it all, you see. For your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his scheme. Satan is only too eager to get his hands into the ecclesia. He had his hand in this man in doing this. He had his hand in you tolerating it. But now it's been put right. Now if you just leave this man to suffer in sorrow and languish, then Satan will get in there and outwit us again. Now receive him back. There is forgiveness. Peter was forgiven. David was forgiven. Abraham was forgiven. Paul was forgiven. I'm forgiven. Sins before and after conversion. This is not excusing sin. This is not antinomianism. But it is the glory of the gospel. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The only reason Judas perished, is not that he sinned. It's that he sinned and didn't repent. If he had come back and asked Christ for forgiveness, I have no hesitation in saying he would have been forgiven. Pilate, if he had just asked for forgiveness, he would have received it. This is a word for the unbeliever. Unbeliever, you need forgiveness of sins. I'm not preaching religion to you or duties. I'm in the sense of what you can do to earn your salvation. Not at all. I'm telling you, come to Christ. Confess your sins. And he will forgive you. There may be somebody listening to me saying, well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've said. You don't know where I've been. You don't know how bad I've been. No, and I tell you straight, I couldn't care less. The blood of Jesus Christ, I say it again, cleanseth from all sin, including yours. You're no exception. There is no sin that Jesus' blood will not wash away if we confess our sins. And he will bury our sins in the depths of the sea. Isaiah tells us so. Christ paid his precious blood to wash away sin. Sinner, is there one listening to me? You've gone too far? You've sinned too many times? You've gone far back? You've fallen away? Rubbish! Turn to Christ now, and at this very instant, his blood will wash you. His spirit will bring the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, and he will renew you. And all will be forgotten and forgiven. He is no gainsaying. There's no, I told you so with Christ. He addeth no rebuke with it. There's a passage in James that says it. He doesn't bring it back up to us. He doesn't remind us of it. He doesn't say, ah, I told you. There's no reminding of the whole thing. There's no telling of all over again. He forgives. He addeth no sorrow. No reminders. Here's the text. Ask God. Without finding, he will give generously to all without finding fault. He won't come back again and again and say, I told you so, you sinned, and so on. So I urge you, unbeliever, come to Christ. I urge you, fallen believer, come back to Christ. I speak to all of us who are believers. May we be scripturally minded, but full of love for Christ, full of love for one another. May we be all in this together, my brothers and sisters, mutually seeking to love each other, to show forgiveness of sins, but to deal with sin and discipline ourselves and each other, all for the glory of Christ. It's a wonderful little passage. It's one of these windows again. You see so many of them in the New Testament. It's not a great major doctrinal passage, but you just look through the window, and what can you see? I see a picture of a church life that is so very, very different to the institutional today, the traditional Christendom. God give us more and more to get back to the new covenant ecclesia. We do sin. We do stumble. We're not sinless, unbeliever. We're not telling you that we're better than anybody else. But we know that the blood of Jesus has washed us. We know how to forgive. We know how to be forgiven. We know how to be restored. We know how to go on. We know how to be picked up by God's grace and moved on. We know Satan's after us, but by God's grace, we will live for his glory in Jesus Christ. May this little passage live again, even today, by our meditation upon it.